Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Hadari.
Hey, Ben and Nathan. I'm fully invested in the LSAT right now. Things worked out to where my temporary job ended, and I have enough savings to last a few months. I really like the idea of not working until I score somewhere in the mid-170s, currently just barely in the 160s with my last practice test score being -7 in reading comprehension, -7 in games, and -6 in logical reasoning. Okay, so pretty evenly distributed. I know you guys advocate for one good hour per day, but I'm the type of person who loves school, loves the LSAT, and has enjoyed making LSAT studying my full-time job. After working part-time and doing the LSAT part-time, I would rather focus solely on studying, but I'm wondering if my application would look weak without work experience in the legal field. No. I have a 3.
Your application looks weak with a 162. Your application with a 170 anything is going to look dramatically differently. You shouldn't be worrying about that part of it at all. Yeah. The only thing you should be thinking about, Hadari, is this plan going to get you to the LSAT that you need? And if it is, great. I'm skeptical. We're always skeptical of people who study for the LSAT full time. It seems like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You know, like, I've got savings to last a few months.
Yeah, it puts a time.
But I don't want to work until I get the LSAT that I need. So now it's like you have to force yourself to get the LSAT you need in just a few months before you run out of money. I don't know. I guess that would work for some people, but I think for other people it would just create stress and be totally counterproductive. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. No. It's tough too, because you have, right? Okay, you're working you're doing the LSAT full time. So what are you doing? 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day? There's gonna be a point where more studying is gonna be harmful. Not helpful. Harmful, right? Not even neutral. So I don't know where that is. That's different for everybody.
It might happen later for somebody like Hadari. I mean, if you really are that good of a student, you really love school, love the LSAT, you know, maybe it's hour 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that.
Could be.
But that still seems like an awful lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to continue the email?
Yeah. So Hadari continues. I have a 3.65 GPA, I'm a URM, and I'm looking mostly at the top 14 schools. I've worked entry-level positions at a policy lab and at a social justice center, but I don't have work experience directly in the legal field, unless student government in undergrad counts.
No,
not
it does
really.
Not.
I'm under the impression that the LSAT matters much more than anything else, but I'm 25 and 2 years removed from undergrad, so I think it's possible that my app will look bad if I don't have more/better work experience. How should I spend these next 8 months? I'm not sure if there's a way to send an updated resume to law school after you apply, but there's a whole year between sending my application in September 2024 and starting law school in September 2025.
Yeah.
And I plan to work in the legal field during that time. Again, Hadari, I think you're starting to recognize this, but your LSAT is what matters the most. This work experience is really, I think the main benefit is for you, not for your application.
Yeah, exactly. You're thinking about it the wrong way. Stop thinking about your work experience as something for your law school applications. Your work experience is for you, for your career, to figure out what the hell you want to do with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And if you've never worked in the legal field, then it's just not even possible that you know what you want to do with the rest of your life. You think you want to be a lawyer, but you don't have any idea what that actually is because you've never worked with lawyers before.
Yeah.
So you need to get working with lawyers. I would say that that's number one priority above even the LSAT, because you might get in there working with lawyers like so many of our students do and realize that this isn't what they want to do.
Yeah.
And we're not a pipeline program, so we think that that's a win. If you get into this field and decide it's not what you want to do, well, guess what? It's not what Ben wants to do either. Yeah. It's not what I want to do either.
Yeah.
And so we're perfectly happy. You know, we want to send you to the right law school at the right price if it's the right fit for you.
Yeah.
But you don't even know if it's the right fit for you. you're set. Like I'm starting law school in September of 2025. I'm going to apply to law school in September of 2024. Between now and then, I'm working on making my LSAT. I mean, you're working on your LSAT full time, which, okay, we have some reservations about that, but if you think you can actually pull it off, fine. Anything else worrying about your resume because of how it's going to look for law school applications, there's a far greater chance that you're going to get those jobs and realize it's not what you thought it was. And that's why you should get those jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Here's an interesting...
What the hell you're getting yourself into. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I totally agree. Here's an interesting metric, right? When you talk about what we look at to decide whether we're succeeding, one obvious metric would be, okay, how many people are getting into law school for free or very close to free? But that metric is not perfect. If someone says, hey, I came to you and I decided not to go to law school, we're almost 100% confident that that person made the right decision. But even people who get into law school for free or nearly free, that's not 100% guaranteed that that was the best decision for them. It's way better than going for some god-awful amount of money, but it still may not have been the best decision. Yeah. There could have been a better one.
Oh, a lot of better ones. You could have been working during those 3 years. You could have been building a career. Many, many, many people go to law school and never practice law. Many.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I want to say, now I'm pulling stats out of my ass, but this is like 15 years worth of experience working in the field. I think roughly, you can tell me whether you think I'm high or low, Ben.
Yeah.
I think roughly 50% of our students ever even go to law school.
Mm.
And I think that of those, maybe 50% of them practice law successfully, like as a career.
Yeah, that's a number I had in my head too, about half. I didn't have that first number, but the second number of those who go, I'd say about half practice. I hope, actually, you twisted that a little bit. You talked about the number of people who are our students. I hope the number of people who are our students who end up going to law school, I hope a higher percentage.
I guess I can. I consider everybody who ever talks to us our student. So I'm not just like specifically talking about LSAT Demon students.
Yeah.
Although there are a lot of people who, you know, they unsubscribe from the Demon saying, I've decided that law isn't right for me. And I feel like giving them a high five every time when they say absolutely. No longer pursuing law school. I'm like, good, perfect. You know, that's great. I'm glad there's a whole world out there. Law is just one tiny little narrow sliver of it. So that's great that you walk away. There's other people who are going to, you know, not score what they need to score, not get into the right schools, not get the offers that they need to get and decide to walk away.
Yeah. We're still
there. Are people like producer Eric who go through a whole law school application cycle and then decide, hey, none of these offers are worth my time right now. I'm going to live my life and do other things and keep working for a while. Mm. And maybe Eric never goes back.
Yeah.
If he never goes back, it's because he found other better stuff to do.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess it's not a disaster for me if I say, oh, I think about half of the people who talk to us ever even end up going to law school.
Yeah. So that, I guess what I'm hoping, though, is that your second number of those that go, you said half practice, half.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
I think that's about right. But I hope that number isn't that stark for our students.
Right. For our students.
We're filtering you out.
If we actually send you to law school, it's because we want you to be practicing law.
And you're going to be successful. You're going to a good law school. You're not paying very much.
You're not going to enslave yourself via the debt that you're borrowing so that you have to take one of these jobs that you hate, the soul-sucking, miserable job that they work you to the bone and then you wash out after a few years, which that's what happens to like half the people who go into big law.
Yeah.
We don't want to create losers in the game. We want to create winners in the game.
Yeah.
Or another way to win the game is to just say, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. I'm not gonna play that game. Cause I'm
like, I win every time I walk through a casino, right?
Yeah.
Cause I walk through a casino and I don't play.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, that's a bad game for me. That's also a bad game. Oh, that's also a bad game. I just walk right through. I feel like I won.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Anything more for Hidari? Or
no.
Did we even finish the email?
We did. Yeah. Hidari, keep us posted. Want to hear how it goes. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT of Law School Admissions news. Thanks for listening.